Good afternoon, everybody. I'd just like to start by thanking everybody for coming along to celebrate Tabitha with us and to give thanks to God, and thank you for your prayers for us and for our family, and the prayers for Tabitha that you said earlier. So thank you for that. When most parents have a child, whether it's a first or second or third or maybe more, once you've caught your breath, you kind of, sometimes you find yourself looking at your child and you wonder what they'll become. You wonder where their life's going to go, what it's going to be like, what they'll be like when they grow up. And I think most parents have hopes for their children. They have hopes and dreams for them. Some are simple hopes, that they'll be healthy, that they'll be happy, maybe that they'll have a good education. And those are more universal kind of hopes that we have for our children. Others might be more specific. It might be that they'll choose a certain career or maybe go to university, though probably not if you're the one that's going to have to fund it nowadays. Or that they'll too have a passion for football or whatever else it might be. People have written actually very informative guides that I found on the internet that were quite useful when it comes to raising children. One that I found was entitled How to Raise a Child in 23 Steps, which I thought was great because I thought it took at least the best part of 20 years. But by following this guide, apparently you can raise your child. Another was entitled How to Raise an Intelligent and Creative Child. And then one that I really like, this is my personal favourite, a 13-step guide entitled How to Raise Children to Be Rich, which I thought was quite interesting. Just to give you one helpful nugget of information from this guide, it says step 13, if your child is good at something from a young age, like football, baseball, or electronics, you can tell it's American from that baseball, can't you? Ask them if they have fun doing that, or how they got so good. Only do this if they can make a lot of money from doing it. So, sometimes what a child, what a parent names their child can reflect their hopes for them. So there was this survey that was done in the 1990s in California, and apparently, in the 1990s in California, there were 15 Yales born, there were 8 Harvards born, and 18 babies named Princeton. There were also 3 babies named Lawyer, 9 Judges, but why settle at that? Getting more ambitious, 3 parents had named their babies Senator, and actually, there were 2 Presidents as well. I don't think the parents really thought through this last one, because if their children actually did become president, that could be quite confusing, but we won't go into that. But ultimately, most parents realise that their hopes for their children are just that, their hopes. Parents can spend time inputting into their children's lives. They can give them every chance possible, give them every opportunity. But at the end of the day, children have their own personalities. They make their own decisions. Sometimes it's possible that a parent's plans for their children might not be the best plans, and other things might result in the long term. But generally, it's a good thing for a parent to have hopes for their children. And actually, like baby president and baby senator and judge and Harvard, the name that Izzy and I have given Tabitha is reflective of our highest hopes for her in life. The name's Tabitha Grace. This has nothing to do, as Dennis mentioned earlier in the week, at the common abbreviation of her name. We're not hoping that she grows up to be a cat. But it has to do with a story in the Bible, in Acts chapter 9, which starts in verse 36. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Incidentally, if she's naughty, then we're going to call her Dorcas. But that's nothing. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent 2 men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas or Tabitha had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. The very first thing that we read about Tabitha is that she was a disciple. And first and foremost, that's our hope for Tabitha, that she will grow up to be a disciple. What this means is that Tabitha in Acts had faith in Jesus, who at this point had already died and had already been risen from the dead and ascended into heaven to be with his Father. And Tabitha was one of many thousands of people who we read about in Acts, who within 5 years of Jesus' resurrection had chosen to leave behind their own old life. In Tabitha's case, this was her Jewish religion, and had chosen to live for Jesus, despite the persecution that that brought at the time for many of them. The same persecution it still brings today in many places in the world. As a result of being a disciple, we read she was always doing good and she was helping the poor. Living her life for Jesus meant living her life for others. Her life had an impact on many people because she lived out her faith. She loved the people around her. She was compelled to help them. She had compassion on them, the needy, the widows, these people who were so upset when she died. She showed them God's love because God's love was working through her. You know, God loves the world, and in the same way that many injustices in this world are caused by people, people exploiting one another, people at war with one another, in the same way, God actually wants to use people to heal those injustices, to bring restoration to people and hope to people because of Jesus. And so this is part of what it means to follow Jesus. Christians don't always do a great job of this. We don't always do a great job of showing God's love to the world, but there are always Tabithas who devote themselves completely to others. But also, God's mighty power was demonstrated in Tabitha's life. She was raised from the dead. Now, although we're unlikely to experience something quite as dramatic as that in our lifetime, although we might, if we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then God's power is working through us. And with God's power at work in us, then anything is possible. Being a Christian isn't just about going to church and singing songs and reading the Bible. If it was just about that, I'm sure we might actually find better things to do with our time. But actually, we do these things because we want to seek God, because we know God, and we want to spend time with him and worship him. And in Ephesians chapter 1, which is another book in the Bible, Paul writes about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He says that that power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Sometimes the church makes God seem small, but with God at work in our lives, as we've said, anything is possible. So we see in Acts, Tabitha was literally raised from the dead. And because of this, we read that many people believed in the Lord. So our highest hopes for Tabitha is that she'll be a disciple of Jesus, that her faith will impact the lives of others, and God's power will be demonstrated in her life. And as a result of this, many other people will also come to believe in God. But although we're going to raise her as best we can, and we're going to try and show her God's love as best we can, we know that all these things are by God's grace. And so this is why we've chosen grace as her middle name, because we hope that God's grace will be right at the center of her life. Nothing we do as people, you see, could make us deserving of God's love and his favor and his blessing and approval. No matter who we are, God's word actually teaches that all people have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standards. And that's quite a hard teaching to take on board. But actually, when I think about it, a lot of time in my life, I fall short of the standards that I set myself. So it's no wonder that I fall short of God's standards. You know, God, who is the loving, all-powerful, almighty creator of the whole earth. It's no wonder I fall short of his standards. But actually, despite all of these things which separate us from God, God still wants us to know him. And God has higher hopes for every single one of our lives. He doesn't want the people who he created being separate from him. No matter how much we might turn away from him, no matter how far we may run in the opposite direction, God created each one of us so we could have a relationship with him, so that we could know him because he loves us. God created Tabitha so she could have a relationship with him because he loves her. And so no matter what, no matter how long it takes, no matter what we do, God still loves us. He waits for us, whether we're 9, whether we're 99. And God's highest hopes for all of us is expressed in a name also. The name which he gave his one and only son, Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is the good news. This is the message of hope for all people. That God the Father sent Jesus, his son, to earth to be born as a man. That's just incredible. That Jesus, through whom the whole world was created, actually came to be a human and came to be among us. But what's more, Jesus lived the perfect life. He never sinned. He met God's perfect standards. He had God's approval. He loved people. He spent time with people. And he showed us what it really means to live life to the full. But because of what he did, because of what he said, because he challenged people and upset the status quo, people crucified him and nailed him to a cross. But even more incredibly, this was God's plan right from the beginning. Because actually Jesus died for us. He died for me. He died for you. Right from the beginning, God wanted Jesus to come and die and take the punishment for all of our sins, for all the wrong things that we have done, so that nothing would separate us from his love, so that we could have a relationship with God and have eternal life. And so Jesus, whose name means God saves, rose from the dead to show us that God wants to give all of us new life in him, that death is not the end. He wants us to have life forever with him for all eternity. And God, who never breaks a promise, who can't lie, has promised eternal life to anybody who chooses to reject sin and put their faith in Jesus. In John chapter 3, verse 16, in the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is God's love, that he made a way. He made the way to eternal life through Jesus. He endured death so that we can have life. And by his grace, his completely undeserved favor, anybody, old or young, rich or poor, whatever we've done, however far our life has taken us away from God, whoever believes in Jesus and puts their faith in him, just as Tabitha had done in Acts, can have eternal life. So this is why we've named our daughter Tabitha Grace. And this is also why there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but Jesus. Just as a parent with their children, God has given us every opportunity. He's given us every possibility. He's given us every potential as the whole of mankind to be transformed into the person that he created us to be and to inherit eternal life. But at the end of the day, we each have our own personalities, and we are each given the honor and the respect to make our own decision as to whether we want to receive new life in Jesus. And this is one that only we can make. I want to finish with a prayer. And You can say this prayer along with me in the silence of your own hearts if you want to make it. And it's simply a prayer that says to God, sorry for the things that I've done in my life which haven't met your approval, for the times I've fallen short of your standards. And then it's a prayer that asks for his forgiveness, and a prayer that says thank you, that he's provided a way for me, for you to have eternal life with him through Jesus. And we'll just invite Jesus into your life right now and know that he has promised you eternal life and life with him. So I'm just going to say this prayer, and as I say, you can say it in the silence of your own hearts as well, if you want to. Lord Jesus, we come before you, and Lord, we want to just lay before you our lives. And Lord, we want to say sorry for the times which we have fallen short of your standards, for the times that we've sinned, for the way in which we have turned away from you in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that I can have forgiveness because of what you did on the cross, because you have paid the price for all of my sins. Thank you, Lord, that you did that for me because of your great love for me. And so, Lord, I ask for that forgiveness today. And Lord, I welcome you into my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come now and fill me and enable me to live life to the full in you and to have the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or you'd just like to know more about what we've spoken about this afternoon, there's this helpful booklet. It's very simple. It's available. There's some on the desk as you came in. There's some on the table out there. There's some when we go through to coffee. You'll see it around, or you can come and ask one of us, and we can get one for you. And if you want prayer, if you want us to pray with you, then we're here now, and we'll be here after the meeting as well.